matter who it is that follows Jesus Christ, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this life could even mean eternal life. So this is vital to each of our lives, that we do walk in the light of Jesus Christ. And we note here another statement, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So on the other side of the picture of this light is darkness. It's just like today we can see one another because of the light that we have in this room and on the earth about us. But if it was pitch dark and there's no other source of light, we could not function as well. And the less the light we have, the less are we able to function. And so we want to think about this. To really function efficiently, we have to follow Jesus Christ. And if we don't follow him, we can walk in darkness, and that darkness can be great. I would like to turn to a related statement in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and this is found in verses 8 through 11. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. So Paul, speaking to the Ephesian people, had this to say, that one time they were in darkness. And we know that they even were idol worshippers at one time. And many other things did they follow that were right. They followed after many other forms of wickedness. But they were converted under the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, now are ye light in the Lord. Because they chose to follow Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. And then he gave them the charge that should be each and every one of us who has taken upon us the name of Jesus Christ. Walk as the children of light. And this is vital, that you and I do walk as the children of light. Next verse, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And I think we're all well aware of the fruit of the Spirit, and I've named them before, and I think I'll name them again tonight. They're listed over in the, if you want the reference, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and the 22nd and 23rd verses. And the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace. And they're long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit that should show in the lives of the believers of Jesus Christ. And it says here, walk as the children of light. And if we're really completely walking as the children of light, these fruits that I have just named will show in our lives. And I don't intend to go in them in detail because I want to pursue something else. Because really, these fruits of the Spirit are in themselves a sermon of themselves. Further, charging the Ephesians and us who read today or any other peoples, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And that is your duty and my duty to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. For there is many things that men allow themselves to do and excuse themselves in that are not acceptable unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And many men choose darkness because their deeds are in the dark. And they choose this type of life. But when we follow after the evil one, it don't matter who it is, any person who follows after him is walking in darkness. To the degree that we allow division, strife, envy, immorality, or a number of other things to enter into the lives of the children of men, to that degree we walk in darkness. And the more fully they take part in our lives, the more fully we are engulfed in that darkness. That can eventually lead to our very utter destruction. And the devil is the one that is behind all darkness. He works in darkness. He is a ruler of darkness, as even as I will shortly show. Now I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And this is found in verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, in a way, that might seem like an odd statement. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, if this what it says, warring against the flesh, this is another thing. What this is trying to indicate here, though you and I do walk in the flesh, and this don't mean in the sin of the flesh, it means we're fleshly beings, we associate with fleshly people. And though we walk in this flesh, it says we do not war after the flesh. Because if we really want to stand against the powers of the devil, we have to have the powers of God with us. The next verse further explains this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we can't fight the man of flesh. We can't fight the things of the flesh with things of the flesh. We can't do it. But it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And there are great and many strongholds in this world today, which I will enlarge upon a bit later. And the only way to pull down these strongholds of evilness is by putting off the carnal and walking after the spiritual. That is the only way. For if our weapons are carnal, we cannot stand. We cannot war against the flesh. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So even our very thoughts must be in obedience to Christ. I like the statement that King Benjamin of old made in the second chapter of Mosiah in verse 49. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts, and that's what this says here, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so King Benjamin told him, you must watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words, what you say to one another, and the language you use, and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. So again, this further builds up and shows us that we must not walk after darkness, but after the light of Jesus Christ. Now backing up here again to verse 4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. Over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verses 10 through 12, further adds to this statement. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There is the clue. There is the charge for each of us tonight, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need that might with us. We need that power with us today, every hour, in every place. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this whole armor of God, if any of you care to read it, it's found in verses 13 through 17. And I don't plan to enlarge upon that either, even though this armor is shown how we can stand. But this next verse is a verse I want to mainly be concerned about and build further tonight upon. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And what did I just bring out just a bit ago in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter? And I want to reread that one verse again. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we do not war after the flesh, but against principalities, against powers. And these powers, you can't even really fully comprehend. These are the powers of evilness and the powers of the devil. against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the rulers of the darkness of this world is the devil and his host of angels. This is what we're really warring against. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we had stopped here a few moments and think upon this, it should give us a lot of food for thought. It should give us some concern. Because really, we are not, as men, equal to the powers and the deceitfulness and the wiles and the guile of the devil. It's only with the light of Jesus Christ that we become equal and even more than equal to his power. But it's because you and I have chosen to follow him and apply his commandments to our life. Many things are done in the evilness of darkness. It seems like, and I don't mean there isn't any evil done in the light of the day, but it seems like that at night even the powers of evil are even more manifest than even in the daytime, because that ruler of darkness, the devil, is ever working. And then spiritual wickedness in high places. And I thought upon this, and most certainly this does fit our world today. It could fit high places, for one thing, even in government. I believe that there can be spiritual wickedness in such places. And I don't intend tonight to point a finger at any individual person, but I do know that the nations of this world can have such in their leadership. In fact, I am positive that the nations of this world, including the United States, have such in their leadership. I'm also positive that this can also apply to even churches, that there can be spiritual wickedness in high places. And this should give us some concern, because there could be compromising of right. And today, right is being compromised perhaps more than any time. And we could go on and on in that. Things that 25 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, this nation stood against, today are being accepted. And if you stand up against such, you are discriminating against the rights of people to do whatever they want between consenting parties or even unconsenting, as a matter of fact. They always call it consenting, but this isn't true. Because this, again, is some of the works of darkness, and how careful we must be. You and I this night must have our eyes open. We must be alert to what is taking place about us. And sometimes I really wonder, are we fully alert to the powers of evil and the rulers of darkness? I really don't think that we're as alert as we may even think we are. Even though there's many things we know that are wrong. And I've said it and I'll say it again tonight. We have really underestimated the powers of the devil. And so how careful you and I must be. There's another verse of Scripture in Romans 8:6 that I've copied down here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we analyze this, if we walk after the carnal man, it is death, mind you. That's final. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need this life. We need this inner peace. And we can have a peace today that certainly no man can impart upon us. We are told that the peace of God passeth all understanding. It really passes all the comprehension of man, what he really has in store for those that love him and keep his commandments. We have all these beautiful things that are promised to us. It didn't promise them without some rain. It didn't promise them without some trials and troubles. But there was promised strength for each trouble, each trial. But in all this, life could be far more beautiful than really it is. I believe that. We could enjoy it more fully if we more fully yield ourselves to Jesus Christ. And so, again, it comes back to the point, It is up to you and I what we really want to receive. God is willing and is able. His arm is outstretched to each one of us tonight. Even as unto the children of Israel of old, when he says, "Come unto me." He says, "How oft would I have gathered you into the fold, and ye would not." And man, by his very works today, refused to be gathered. And I'm not saying all men, but man in the overall picture, are not availing themselves of what God has for them and his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we might think upon this. Yes, spiritual wickedness in high places is something to be concerned about. If we really realized how far-reaching it might be, I believe it could be an industry. I believe it could even be in high places of higher learning, in schools and things of this nature. If we really knew the full impact of everything, it might really scare us. We find a people of old who were called the Jaredites. They came to these continents about 2,200 years before Christ, approximately. They were brought out from the great Tower of Babel at the time of the confusion of tongues, wherein a people thought that they might build a great tower to heaven. And why did they want to build this tower to heaven? Well, they was afraid that the Lord might scatter them upon the face of the earth. And they wanted to get closer to the Lord. And when the Lord saw what they were doing, he went down there among them, said, "If we allow this, nothing would really be impossible unto them." So what did he do? He says, "We will take care of this." He says, "We'll confound their language and we'll scatter them over the face of the earth." The very thing they didn't desire was theirs, because they had this unholy desire. And according to some things I'll bring out tonight, the devil was behind that desire of the people then. Those people underestimated what the devil could really do. And after that, they had confusion of tongues. I don't necessarily believe that every person couldn't understand one another, but there were many languages brought about at that time. Maybe just groups of people. But it certainly stopped the further building of that great tower to heaven. And that was because of desires that weren't good. I bring that in to show this was at the time that the Jaredites were brought across the mighty deep to a land that was promised to a righteous people and reserved for a righteous people. And they were brought here and they lived here. They reached exceeding high statues of civilization. And at times they built up and had times of righteousness that went many years. And sometimes, and just having read some of them again this week, I'm not sure, but what some of theirs might even exceeded the time that followed Christ upon this continent. I have no way of really being able to prove it, because they don't give the time there. But one person's life of reigning, I think, was 80 years, and another followed it, and it could have been a long period of time. And they had several of these. But because of spiritual wickedness, because of the rulers of darkness, because of the powers of the devil, and because of wickedness taking hold, these people many times fell. And they finally fell to their very utter destruction. And part of the things that brought this about was this works of darkness and secret combinations, which I plan to speak more fully upon. This brought about the destruction of a highly favored people of the Lord. It can bring about the destruction of any other peoples who pursue such as this. And I would like to turn to the book of Alma. And this is found in the 17th chapter. And it starts with verse 52. And I would like to read some. Now, as a little background for this, again, this is speaking about the Jaredites. And I believe the one who abridged this caused it to be written here. Anyway, there were 24 plates that were kept as a record of the Jaredites. And so now I want to speak about this. Well, Alma was saying this to his son Helaman. And now I will speak unto you concerning these 24 plates, that ye keep them, that the mysteries and the works of darkness and their secret works, or their secret works of these people who have been destroyed, may be made manifest unto this people. Yea, all their murders and robbings, their plunderings, their wickedness and abominations may be made manifest unto this people. Yea, that we preserve these directors. And I want us to note this closely. For behold, the Lord saw that this people began to work in darkness. That was the Jaredites. They began to work in darkness. Yea, work secret murders and abominations. Therefore, the Lord said, if they did not repent, they should be destroyed from off the face of the earth. And this was a sad thing. This was a people who become so a part of wickedness. Instead of this being drunken with wine, they were drunken with iniquity till they finally destroyed all but one person in the final great battle. And a guy can hardly believe a people so highly favored of the Lord fell into such a status as this. But it was because of the secret works of darkness, because of this wickedness that spread over the face of the land at that time. And the Lord had reserved this land and actually preserved it for a righteous people, for a definite purpose. And the Lord said, I will prepare unto my servant Gazalem a stone which shall shine forth in darkness unto light, that I may discover unto my people who serve me, that I may discover unto them the works of their brethren, yea, their secret works, their works of darkness, and their wickedness and abominations. And now, my son, these directors were prepared that the word of God might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying, I will bring forth out of darkness unto light all their secret works and their abominations. And these were done for a definite purpose. They actually, even though the oaths were prepared or preserved, yet it was their works of darkness that Alma and others here were more concerned about, that the people might be taught an everlasting dislike or hatred of these works of darkness. And then it says, and except they repent, I will destroy them off the face of the earth, and I will bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation that shall hereafter possess the land. And these things are had among the children of men, even down to this day. And now, my son, we see that they did not repent. They did not repent of these secret abominations and these works of darkness, so they utterly fell and were destroyed. And now verse 60. I'll skip a little here because it might take quite a while if I went into all I have here tonight. For behold, there is a curse upon this land, and more specifically, this is the United States of America, that destruction shall come upon all those workers of darkness according to the power of God when they are fully ripe. Therefore, I desire that this people might not be destroyed. And we find here in the book of Ether, which we're all familiar with, at the time, is this before the Jaredites come to this continent. This is the first chapter, and if you want the whole reference, in verses 29 through 35. And it's concerning the land which had been preserved for a righteous people. And it says, and the Lord here has sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever, and that's a long time, should serve him the true and only God, or they should be swept off, and the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. So this can happen unto the children of men. And now we can see and behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off, and the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And then it goes on down through these others, and it speaks unto the Gentiles who would eventually come to this land. And it says, he speaks to them that ye may know the decrees of God concerning this land, and he says that ye may repent. and not continue. Now this writer looked down right to our very day. The word continue and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. And there's some great and marvelous promises here that there wouldn't be any bondage or any part of this to those who've served on this land. But there's another commandment that they should serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. And that is a commandment that is placed to you and I and any other people who live upon these continents. I'd like to read Alma 17:64. And thus the judgments of God did come upon these workers of darkness, the Jaredites, many years ago. And secret combinations, because of their secret combinations. Yea, and cursed be the land forever unto those workers of darkness and secret combinations, even unto destruction, except they repent before they're fully ripe. And now he commanded his son, he says, trust not the secret plans unto these people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to humble themselves. And you can go on and read the rest of that. It was recently read, I believe, in a scripture reading in Sunday school. It's good reading, but I won't enlarge upon that. I'd like to turn to Helaman, the second chapter, and read from verses 146, starting with that. Now, this was in the days of some Gadianton robbers who infested the land many years later than the Jaredites. They worked in secret. They had secret combinations among them. They plundered and they stole and they murdered and they committed various abominations. Now, verse 146. And it came to pass that they did have their signs, yea, their secret signs and their secret words, and this, that they might distinguish a brother who had entered into the covenant, that whatsoever wickedness his brother should do, he should not be injured by his brother, nor by those who did not belong to his band, who had taken this covenant. And thus they might murder and plunder and steal and commit whoredoms. See what they could do under this. And all manner of wickedness. Contrary, now listen to this, contrary to the laws of their country and also the laws of their God. And this is happening upon the face of this earth today, contrary to the laws of the country. This is happening even in the nation we live upon. These secret combinations and such like. Things are done that are contrary to the Constitution of the United States as it was originally drawn up. This happened then. And whosoever those who belong to their band should reveal into the world of their wickedness and their abomination should be tried, not according to the laws of their country, notice this, but according to the laws of their wickedness, which have been given by Gadianton and Kishkumen. So really, this is something that should concern us very deeply about. Because there are those with these things in mind that puts them in prestigious locations. This very thing here that are contrary to the laws of the country exists. Even in this country, there are those that can belong to certain types of these secret combinations that gives them extra consideration where they work, or they might go forward more rapidly in business. They might be able to get power more completely. They might be able to accomplish works of iniquity without any punishment therein. And this is happening today. If we really knew how much, I'm sure it would even concern us far more. And now, behold, it is these secret oaths and covenants which Alma commanded his son, that's what I just read about, should not go forth into the world, lest they should be a means of bringing down the people unto destruction. And I want you to listen to this closely to show how clever that devil is. Now behold, these secret oaths and covenants did not come forth unto Gadianton from the records which were delivered unto Helaman. He had them. They didn't come forth to them by this means. But behold, they were put into the heart of Gadianton by that same being who did entice our first parents to partake of the forbidden fruit. Who told Eve, yeah, it's all right to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Yeah, if you do that, you shall not die. He only added one little word. That was all he did. But it started the sin, didn't it? He did entice our first parents to partake of the forbidden fruit. That's the same person that causes that these things are handed down from generation to generation. And anybody that wants to work in darkness, the devil will see it, they get it. Yea, that same being who did plot with Cain, mind you, that if he would murder his brother Abel, it should not be made known unto the world. He lied to Cain, didn't he? Because it was known unto the world. But he don't mind lying to get his ends. And he did plot with Cain and his followers from that time forth. And that's where this first started. Yes, Cain and Abel brought offerings unto the Lord. The offerings of Abel were acceptable unto God. But Cain's were not. And he was wroth. And the Lord says, why are you wroth? Why his offering wasn't acceptable. And the reason it wasn't acceptable, because sin lay at the door of Cain. That was why. And the devil was behind the sin. And so his offering was rejected of the Lord. And if he would come unto the Lord in the proper way, the Lord told him his offering would be acceptable. But he was wroth with this. He rose up and he slew his brother, the first murder. And it was put into his heart by the devil. And it also is the same being who put into the hearts of the people to build a tower sufficiently high that they might go to heaven. That was the same person that did that, the devil. And it was the same being who led on the people who came from the tower unto this land. This is the Jaredites I brought out earlier. Who spread the works of darkness and abominations over the face of the land until he dragged the people down to an entire destruction. They underestimated the devil, didn't they? Into an everlasting hell. Now this is serious. We aren't talking about some little old halfway thing. It's a serious matter tonight. Yea, it is that same being who put into the heart of Gadianton, and little did he maybe even know it, I don't know, to still carry on the works of darkness and of secret murder, and has brought it forth from the beginning of man even down to that time, to this time. And behold, it is he who is the author of all sin. And behold, he doth carry on his works of darkness and secret murder, and doth hand down their plots, and listen to this, and their oaths, and their covenants, and their plans of awful wickedness from generation to generation, according as he can get hold upon the hearts of the children of men. If he can't get hold upon your heart, he can't do it. So really today, when you analyze these things, it's serious. It's dangerous. In the book of Ether, the third chapter, we again show the seriousness of this whole thing. It was in the days of one King Omer and his son Jared. And Jared was a man who like power and prestige of kingdoms and all this. And Jared, I want to show you how devious the plans of the devil are right in this very thing here. This involved a father and his son. It involved a grandfather and his granddaughter. And eventually a son-in-law. and to show how the evil works of darkness can literally destroy, and even friends can literally destroy, and is put into their hearts by none other than the devil. And in this particular instance, a son rose up and gave battle to his father and put him in subjection till he took him, and the majority of his life he raved in captivity. And even in captivity, this Omer had sons, and the brothers of this person that did this were very angry, and so they rose up and gave battle against their brother, and they overcome all these armies, and they were about to kill the brother, and he pled for his life. And they give it to him. Might have been a mistake. I don't know, but they did it. Anyway, we find it says that Jared, he was the one that had his life spared, become exceeding sorrowful because of the loss of the kingdom. For he had set his heart upon the kingdom and upon the glory of this world. That's what he wanted, above anything else. And so we find that Jared had a daughter, and she's exceeding fair, and evidently very beautiful. And again, the devil worked at this beautiful woman, this exceeding fair woman. And she said, "Behold, is there not an account of them of old, that they by their secret plans did obtain kingdoms and great glory?" And so she says, "Now you send for Achish," and says, "I'll dance before him," says, "I'll please him, and he'll want me to be his wife." And he says, when he does this, he says, then, when he wants me to be his wife, he says, "You ask for your father's, or my grandfather's, head." And you know, I show you how devious this is. Now, Omer and Achish were friends. But so this beautiful girl danced before Achish, and she pleased him. And he wanted her for a wife. And then we find that she says, "Well, now you can have me for wife." Her father said this, "But you got to send the head of my father to me. You got to take the head of my father." And so he agreed to do this, his own friend. And so what did he do? He went out and he got his relatives, and they entered into works of darkness and secret combinations. And they swore one with another and says, "Now what I'm going to desire for you to do, you can't tell anybody." The old devil working in high gear. Because of the lust of the flesh, for one thing, him probably wanting this beautiful woman to even go against his friends, and again, even a granddaughter against her grandfather. And it happened. "And Achish did administer unto them the oaths which were given by them of old, who also sought power, which had been handed down even from Cain, who was a murderer from the beginning. And they were kept up by the power of the devil." That's the way those things were kept. "To administer these oaths unto the people, to keep them in darkness, to help such as sought power," see that? To gain power, and to murder, and to plunder, and to lie, and commit all matter of wickedness and whoredoms. These things were done for that purpose. It's being done today, and it's a sad thing that man don't realize the source of all this. It's been handed down by the power of the devil. And the ruler of darkness, nonetheless. And this daughter of Jared put it into the heart of Jared to do this. And they formed a secret combination, as of old. And then it says in verse 94 on page 734, "And now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations." I want you to notice this. "For it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people, and they are had among the Lamanites, and they have caused the destruction of the people of whom I am now speaking," that's the Jaredites, "and also the destruction of the people of Nephi." We've heard it, pride was another thing that caused their destruction. But here is another one of the things that caused their destruction, these secret oaths, these secret combinations, and they are serious. "And whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain," and this is done today. We note that one time people had jobs of certain natures because of financial gain. That was the number one. But today there are many people that like the power and prestige even above the financial gain, and we got that. But this here says to get power and gain, until they have spread over the nation. Behold, they shall be destroyed. And then you go on down here in verse 96. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, as speaking to the United States of America and others even of the world, as far as that goes. But a lot of these specifically point to our own nation. It is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you. And that's why I thought tonight I should bring these things out, to make us more aware of the serious condition things can get in, that thereby ye may repent of your sins, and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built up to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction, come upon you. And in verse 98 it says, wherefore the Lord commanded you, when you shall see these things come among you, note this, we can see them, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of this secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto you because of the blood of them that have been slain, for they cry from the dust for vengeance, and also upon those who build it up. And in verse 100 says, it is built up by the devil, the father of lies, the same liar who beguiled our first parents, and how serious this is. If we turn to 3 Nephi, the 7th chapter, we would find a direct charge to our nation, specifically. Verse 34. And in verse 31, it told about a book that would come forth in the latter day unto the Gentiles. That was the Book of Mormon. It came. Verse 34 says, and thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. Figure it out for yourself who it's talking about. And above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lying, note this, and deceits and mischiefs. Isn't there a lot of mischief? And all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and secret abominations. Again, this was Jesus Christ. He looked down almost 2,000 years, not quite, from the time he caused this to be written, and saw our day right to the letter. And if they shall do these things and reject the fullness of the gospel, it says the fullness of the gospel shall be brought forth among them. And then he's going to remember the covenant which he made unto the house of Israel. And then he went on to say that the Gentiles shall not have power over the house of Israel. But in verse 38, if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And he will not suffer those of Israel to go through among them and tread them down. But the key is repentance. The key to our nation tonight is repentance. And to not get involved in these secret abominations and combinations and works of darkness that's literally chipping away and destroying a once great nation, the same as it's done to two other great and mighty nations that stood upon the face of the Americas. They fell because of the same type of living. And so we better be aware and alert to what is taking place today right before our eyes. I'd like to turn to 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter. For behold, this land, I believe, again, the United States, saith God, shall be the land of thine inheritance. And of course, he was speaking to the house of Jacob in Israel, or the Lamanites and those. And the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land, and they have been blessed upon this land. And this land shall be a land of liberty, and we have had a land of liberty, unto the Gentiles. And there shall be no kings upon the land who shall raise up unto the Gentiles. There shall be no kings. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. That's a promise of what the Lord can do. And he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God. For he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king. That's the one they want for the king. And I will be a light unto them forever that hear my words. And that light is valuable. I brought it out at the beginning that Jesus Christ, we must walk in his light. Where?